Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adeyemi again. We are going through the book of James. We are in James chapter 4. And we have gone as far as verse 11. James chapter 4. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Now, that was where we stopped last broadcast, and he was talking about judging, not speaking evil one of another. We explained that you can point out issues, talk about issues, but don't talk about a particular person. Let's say, for example, somebody is corrupt in the government and they are stealing from the public money and all those type of things that you know is corruption in the world. Don't point out the man's name or the governor. Don't say, governor, this did that, or governor, that do that, and something like this is going to happen to them. That is speaking evil of the man. But you have the liberty to point out what the scripture says about this type of behaviors and say corruption in this eye, in the high office or in the low office, any form of corruption is evil. And people should repent. You are calling every man to repent without mentioning a man's name. You can point out that homosexuality is evil, is sin, and you can point out adultery is sin, but don't mention the person's name. You know, at least Malo is homosexual. Well, leave that to between him and God. But just point out that the Bible says homosexuality is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and everyone that is in that offense, you repent. If somebody came and said, I'm homosexual, what are you going to say about me? Say, well, I'm not judging you, but I'm pointing out what the scripture says. The scripture says you are committing sin. Repent. Somebody say, well, the governor so-and-so is stealing from the government money. It's corrupt and so-and-so. We pray for the governor so-and-so. And we pray for the president so-and-so. We pray for the police so-and-so. But we still point out that corruption is evil and it's sin against God, against the people. Bribery and corruption is evil and sin against people. Stealing from the public fund is the same way stealing from the church fund is evil and sin. We don't say pastor so-and-so has been accused of this and that. We pray for that pastor so-and-so. But we still point out that stealing from the church fund is sin, that people should repent. So all of those things are pointing out issues rather than speaking evil of a particular person. So that's why the Bible is saying, speak not evil one of another. Brethren, don't speak evil of a person, but just talk about the issue and pray for the people that you think or know that they are doing those bad stuff, that the Lord will help them to repent. That's how we pray. Now verse 12. So there's a one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are thou that judges another man? That's why I say we should not judge, because we ourselves, when we judge people, then you are judging according to your own standard. But we are not to judge according to any person's standard. That's why God says, judge not. Sometimes we don't know the motive behind what some people do. We are only seeing what they did or what they have not done. So God judges motive than the offense. The motive is very important to God. The motive is very important to God. So that is why we are not to be the judge. Let the judgment of human beings be with God. But we can point out offenses. That the Bible says this is an offense from the scriptures. Just point out the issues. That this is an issue that the Bible points out already. That we should not steal. We should not do commit adultery. We should not do all these things. And bribery may be stealing. We point out bribery is stealing from the public. Or corruption is stealing from the public. Taking the contract, not doing it, and pocketing money, stealing from the public. You point out those issues without mentioning who did it, who didn't do that. Leave that to God. Let them be before God. You say, well, they are evil, they are this. Well, let's just pray for them that they will repent. So speak evil of no man. Now, verse 13, to go to something else. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year. And buy and sell and get gain, that's planning your future without even putting God in the equation. That's what he's going to address in this verse 13 to the end. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. That's verse 14. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So his point is that don't be planning for tomorrow and the future without putting God in the equation. He said, well, I don't think anything is going to happen to me. God is not saying it will happen to you, but acknowledge God in all your ways. When you acknowledge God in all your ways, then you are humble before God. If you are not acknowledging God in your ways, that's when this type of thing can happen to you. Because there is a story in the Bible, that not a story, a parable that Jesus Christ gave. He said the property of a very rich person becomes so wealthy, and he has so many things coming out of his farm. And he said, what will I do? And I said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barn and build a bigger barn and store my produce. And then tell my soul to rest. Oh, soul, you have stored up sin for years to come. Just rest, take it easy, and enjoy your life. Never putting God in the equation. And Jesus Christ said, that night, God said, thou fool, tonight, your soul will be demanded of you. And then he asked, of whose, all those things that you have stored up, who will now own it when your soul is demanded? So that's why you don't heap up things for yourself or not. So that's what God is saying here. And this is what Apostle James also is pointing out again. He said, don't say tomorrow, today, tomorrow, we go and do this and do that. You are planning your life without even putting God in the equation. That has to do with our mindset. That has to do with the word of our mouth that is coming out. And that has to do with what we do in our life. Because that's really the three issues. Our mindset is very important. Whom are you putting first in your equation, your mindset? And then your words that come out of your mouth is also important. What are you saying with your mouth? If you are acknowledging God, you should be saying it. It should be coming out of it. If your heart is acknowledging God, you should be saying it in your mouth. Because the man that says, I will be for myself. Or I will go tomorrow, I will buy and buy and buy and sell and never put God in it, is saying the wrong thing. That's what he's saying here. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Verse 17 said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. So if you know how to do good and you are not doing it, he says that is sin to you. If you know that you should help somebody, you refuse to help the person, that becomes a sin. So we have to be checking balance, check and balance in the world, in the way we walk with the Lord and the way we walk in this narrow road, to make sure that we are not sinning against God. Say, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We call it sin of omission. So let's always remember that the Lord will bless your heart. Now we are going to go to chapter 5, which is the last chapter of the book of James. I believe you are, I hope the Lord is giving you some insight in all of these things we are sharing, that the Lord will help you to be able to put all these things in practice. Like he said in the earlier chapter, he said, do not be hearers only, but doers of the word. Doers of the word. So we ought to be doers of what we are learning from the scriptures. And as we practice them, we will get better and better and become like Christ. Because those are the fruits of righteousness. Chapter 5 of the book of James. And it's going to address something that says, go to now, ye rich men. He started by talking to rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Now, this section, many people have classified as a prophecy. That is, it's addressing the rich in the world. It's not talking of the rich men that are serving God. It's talking about the rich men in the world that don't have anything to do with God. And that's really what he's addressing in chapter 5. And that's why people say it's talking about, this looks like a prophecy of the things that are going to happen in the world. Because whatever they are storing, their riches and wealth will become corrupted, and it's going to come into what he's calling like a something that will burn their skin like fire. Let's read it. He said, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is conquered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. And how did they do all of these things? Verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now that means it's more like what you call indicting the people that amass their wealth through corrupt means. They amass their wealth through corrupt practices. That's why he cited example of the hire laborers and don't pay them or don't pay them how much they deserve, and they are cheating to make themselves rich. And that's really what all of the people here is addressing here, because that's how the men of the world amass their riches. But even in this country, America, for example, go and look at all these people that are multi-billionaires and say, well, how did they get all there? Why are the CEOs are the billionaires and the multi-millionaires? Is the CEO, is this the only person that make this corporation? No. But they are making $1 billion salary for themselves, $1 million salary for themselves. While the common engineers, the commoners that are working hard labor in their factories are just paid what they call normal salary, where they make themselves rich and embezzle. That is example of what he's talking about here. Why will the CEO be making $1 million a year just being the CEO of a corporation that is full of thousands of people working their hearts out and making just $10,000, $15,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, and he's making $1 million a year, $2 million a year, plus some other perks, and they become multi-billionaires. Those are the rich that are hiring laborers, and they have that are reaping your fields, and you kept back by fraud the money. See? So those are the type of things he's addressing. Those are the people you should be seeing in any corporation. In America, it's full of people like that. And you only hear their name. They are the big multi-billionaires, and they are the CEOs and the president. And when you hear the salary they make for themselves, the same thing is going on in some other poor country. Look, go and look at some country like Nigeria right now, where they say even the senators, how much they make, how much they assign for themselves. When the common man in the streets, they are stealing the money from the common man. This money belongs to all the people in the streets. And you know, they are signed for themselves money that is, even the president of America don't have that kind of salary. And the senators, the council members are reaping the government money into their own pocket. Those are the people that are hiring laborers and reaping your field, and you kept back the money by fraud. Those are fraud. And those are the things he's addressing here. And he said, all of this money will come back and burn your flesh as with fire. And that's what he's talking about. It's like prophecy, but it's putting an indictment upon the rich that amass their way through all these corrupt practices, corrupt hiring, corrupt payment of their salaries. Some of the governors in some states of a country like Nigeria, some of them have been accused that they won't pay the salary of employees, and they have multi-million dollars in their own pocket. And they say there's no money to pay salaries, teachers, workers, or those who have retired. They have no money to pay the retired folks. But they have money to buy extra cars, to have parks, so many things like that. Those are all the things he was addressing here, that all you rich men, God is going to judge you. All the gold you suck up for yourself is going to become canker. And just like you said, very soon when their soul is demanded, who is going to own all this that you amassed for yourself? You stole this money, you went to put it in the foreign bank in Switzerland. And then when you die, the Switzerland may even so put a foot on that, lock up that money that even your children that you think you sorry for, they couldn't get to it. So you just throw the money away. Many things like that people don't even think when they are stealing all this money. And the Bible is warning people. See, the hire of the laborer you have that will reap down your field, which is of you kept back by fraud, is crying to God. And their cry is coming to the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Verse 5 says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth. There was a video of somebody that I was watching that they reported, one of those ex-council member or something, that he has so many slew of cars for himself. Where did he get all this money to buy the cars? Money he stole from the government when he was a councillor, or when he was this and one of the senator. And he bought red car, blue car, yellow car of these $1 million cars, multi-million naira car, and so on and so forth. And he's boasting of it, how many cars he has. When the common man in the streets, where he stole those money, couldn't even afford a meal. God is going to judge all those things. You may say, well, God is slow in judging. Yeah, God may be slow in judging. Their own portion is for hell and lake of fire. See, God, because of hell and lake of fire, God sometimes postponed anything to deal with them on earth. The story of a false prophet came to mind. I was preaching one time. This false prophet in the book of 2 Kings chapter 13 is where that story was found. The man from Judah, who was a prophet of God from Judah, was deceived by a false old prophet, they call him, a liar, that made the man of God do what God said he shouldn't do. And then the lion came and killed the man of God from Judah. And this false prophet came, the lion didn't even touch him. The lion just left the false prophet as they were. God is not judging the false prophets yet. Their own is for hell and lake of fire. But God judged that man of God speedily, and he died by the lion. But the lion was sitting down there when the false prophet came, and the man just left the false prophet. Go and read the old story in the 2 Kings chapter 13 about the story of the man of God from Judah and the false prophet that deceived him. And God didn't judge that false prophet yet. So that is to make you to know that God is not judging the wicked one yet. They may be thinking they are going great, they are going strong, everything seems to be working out for them. But the time is coming. Zechariah 1 Kings. The time is coming when their own part will be in the lake of fire and hell. But for the people of God, it may be swift judgment. So we are warning you that are believers, don't participate in all those things that is going on. Don't participate in all those things that is going on in the world that you see, oh, that man become rich because he embezzled money. He got some contract and he didn't do it at all. And so on and so forth. That is First Kings chapter 13 is where you see the story of this false prophet and the man of God from Judah. And God is not judging the false prophets yet, because their own lot is in lake of fire and hell, which is eternity. But any child of God, don't participate in their evil behaviors, because your own judgment will be swift and rapid right here on earth, so that God is saving you from hell and lake of fire. They die quickly, young, and then they go and in paradise, and God will still save them because they believe in logic. They just did something wrong that made them to go into that punishment. But the wicked ones, the false ones, God will look at them and let them enjoy their evil things on earth, and they go to the lake of fire for eternity. My friend, it's not a joke. Eternity is not a joke. You better repent and don't participate. If you are a believer, don't participate in their evil things. So that's why Apostle James in his letter was talking about the rich that are not fearing God, that their doom is in the lake of fire. Verse 5 of James chapter 5 that we are reading said, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he does not resist you." So those are all the things that the evil men are doing, and amassing themselves wealth on the earth, and the thing God is not listening, God is not looking, and the thing who is going to judge them, their lot is reserved for the lake of fire. That's why they seem to be prospering on earth. King David said, "Why is the wicked prospering?" But after he went, to the house of God, he saw that their doom is coming. That's why he began to make sure that he's following God seriously. Now, verse 8 of James chapter 5. Verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren." Now he's exhorting we believers that be patient. See all these wicked people enjoying themselves and amassing wealth for themselves and going into all these fraudulent things that they are doing. Don't envy them. Be patient. Verse 7, "Brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and ask long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." God is waiting patiently until he gets all the seed, all his fruit, all his children that will be saved into the kingdom. Then he's coming to judge. But it said, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." It's coming soon. It's coming soon. You see where it's been talked about for thousands of years. If he has come 1,000 years ago, people like me would not have been saved or been born. So God is waiting till all of us come in and get into the world and those that are his own be saved. Because he knows how many spirits he's sending to the world that has to be born. God is the one that's dispensing the spirits to the world. So he has to get all of them. So he has given 6,000 years for mankind where he will dispense all the spirits to be born on earth. So that's why he couldn't come 1,000 years ago. Otherwise, people like me that is preaching to you wouldn't have been born or have any hope of living. But you see, it's better to be born and be saved, and have you have to be born and be saved to be a particle of this kingdom that's coming. So if there are still more people that are yet to be born, they have to be born. God has to send them every spirit that he has created. He knows how many human beings he has created in the spirit world that has to come and put on a human body and live like us, and also be born again if they are seed of God. And then those who are not seed of God will be going to the lake of fire also. So, but God is dispensing the spirits to the world. So he's the one that's going to decide when everything will be over with. So by saying, we be patient. Establish our heart for the coming of the Lord right now. He has a date fixed. And that date, we are moving closer and closer to you. Verse 9 says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Verse 10 says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. So Apostle James is telling us that we ought to be patient, waiting for the Lord's coming. All these things we are seeing that look like troubling us. Look at the wicked just prospering. Look at how they are destroying the nation. Look at how they are just amassing money for themselves. How they are doing fraudulent things to make the poor become poorer. And they are making themselves rich. Be patient. God is going to judge. When God judges, those that are evil are going to that lake of fire. God is reserving the lake of fire for them. If they don't repent, they are going to that lake of fire. But we don't want to be offending by envying them. So that's why I say be patient. We may suffer affliction, and we just like you said, the prophets also suffered affliction, and they are men of patience too. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. After they have endured, we count them, they were blessed by God. Now, look at the example of Job. He's going to cite here. You have heard of the patience of Job, how God allowed the devil to try Job, and he did not offend God. He did not curse God. And you have seen the end of the Lord. That is, you've seen the end of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he was crucified for us, and he did not curse. He has power to destroy all those people that wanted to crucify him, but he didn't use that power. He just submitted to the death on the cross for our sake. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. To the point that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. They do not know what they are doing, that they are actually saving us by killing the Messiah. They are sacrificing his blood for mankind. But they didn't know it. They thought they were angry at him and hating him. But you see, that does not make them to be guiltless, because they are still going to face their own guilt because they allow the devil to use them. You are not to allow the devil to use you, brother and sister. Don't allow the devil to use you. Because everything that we are saying, that these people, they crucify our Lord Jesus Christ out of meanness, out of hatred for him, they crucified him, but they didn't know that actually they are doing humankind a favor, because the Bible said, by his death on the cross, he saved us that are accepting him as the Messiah. But you see, they should be forgiving them. God has already forgiven them. Because they did not accept and receive the forgiveness, like the thief on the cross that didn't accept or receive forgiveness, he was yelling at him also. He goes to his lake, to his butt, to his hell. The same way all these people that crucified him, if they did not repent before they die, because some of them could have repented, who knows, they did not repent before they die, they are going to hell and lake of fire too. So there's punishment for those evildoers, because they allow the devil to use them. Don't allow the devil to use you against God. Very important. Even though when he's using you to persecute the believers, for example, like this Islamic jihadist, the devil is using you to persecute the believers in Christ. That's what's happening. But you are going to be serving your own punishment, because look at the Jews who are crucified. Jesus Christ said there will be a day of vengeance where they were all destroyed and taken away from that land and scattered everywhere. So both the Adam and Eve and the serpent, they all received their due punishment. Even though Adam tried to blame Eve tried to blame the serpent, every one of them received their due punishment. That is how God judges. So the same way, if you allow the devil to use you to do evil, you are going to be punished, just like Satan himself that used you is going to be punished in the end. So that's why we are warning you that fear God and seek the face of God, search the scripture to know what God has said, and resist the devil that tries to use you, and he will flee from you. But if you let him use you, the devil will be punished, but you also will be punished. That's what I'm trying to point out in that story. But we that are believers, be patient, because God is going to bring that judgment, as I said. You say, look at the story of Job, look at the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 of James chapter 5. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay yea, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So Apostle James is saying, like Jesus Christ also told us, that swear not at all. Don't even swear. Just say yes or no. Christ said that anything that is beyond that is of evil. That's what the Apostle James is just echoing what Jesus Christ said. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. Don't swear by any other oath. Someone said, well, when you go to court, they ask you to swear. And because that's their protocol, I would rather just tell them that I'm going to tell the truth. They say, well, swear by the Bible. You know what it means, swear by the Bible? I'm saying that is the truth. And they say, so help me God. Yes, so help me God. Yes. That's what they want to say. So help me God. I don't have to make any force on that. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now, verse 13 to the end is going to talk about we believers praying for one another, praying when we are sick. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That's the solution. Pray when you are afflicted. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. At least sing praise to God. If you are merry, happy, things are happening, you'll just be praising God. Is any among you sick? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, that verse 14 is really making us to see that we ought not to be sick in the body of Christ, because Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sicknesses are part of the curse of the law. If you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verse 14, you see Moses wrote that anyone that is not obeying all these things he wrote in the law, these are the curses upon the person. And they range from poverty to sicknesses to diseases to death. Those are the curse of the law. But Christ in Galatians 3 verse 13 said Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So he took all the curse away. We have to believe that, confess it, and the curse shouldn't be upon us. Sickness shouldn't be upon us at all. In case the devil has sneaking and put some sickness, you should now call for the elders. If you cannot help yourself, if you cannot resist the devil by your own self, call for the elders of the church. Because when you resist the devil, it should flee from you. I say, I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't come against me. Your sickness shouldn't be upon me, because I am already redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you say that, the devil ought to flee. If he's refusing to obey and you confess the word of God like that, so that's it. Call for the elders of the church, let them pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the prayer of faith, not the oil, the prayer of faith. What is prayer of faith? The prayer that says, as we pray, we believe. That's why it's a prayer of faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 24 said, when you stand to pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's the prayer of faith. When you pray and say, this is what we want, Father, thank you, we believe we receive them. That's the prayer of faith. I believe I receive what I have asked for right now. So then it shall manifest. That's the prayer of faith that we save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And he said, if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Because sin sometimes can be the reason why the enemy has an avenue, open door to afflict. But if we have prayed and asked the Lord will remove the sin and forgive the sinner and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That verse 16 is also one method we can use for getting our healing. That is not even calling for the elder, that you and the other person confess your faults one to another. If you have offended somebody, call him up, talk it over and say, I forgive you. And then he said, pray one for another, say, you can be healed by that way. Because all of those offenses is how avenue the enemy used to get to us. But when we call one another up and confess our faults, I'm sorry I did that. You pray one for another, the devil have to run away. Why? Because we are under the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when we pray fervently, our prayer of a righteous man, every one of us are supposed to be righteous people, that is, believers in Christ. That's why it's prayer for everybody. It's for everybody. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think I will continue this in the next broadcast because we are running out of time, and I want to dwell more on this topic about prayer because it's very important. God bless you. I'll continue in the next broadcast.